say no.
Right.
But I want to say no. I'm like, well, I want something good to say no. I'm not going.
I ain't bullshitting. I'm going to tell you right now, whenever it's this time of year, if the minute you ask me anything, first thing I'm going to do is go check the hurricane schedule. I'll be like, all right, let me see who we got that week, because it's going to be kind of tough. Like, you know, you can get me this week. We got Bethune. Okay. And it's a weird night. It's a Thursday night. All right. You can get me for Temple next week. Like, all right, it's on the road. It's Temple. But once we get back in the ACC play, we get into Georgia Tech. It's like, I don't think I'm going to be available for that particular weekend. But I feel, you know how we talk, how that family responsibility be hitting you. You be like, dang. Yeah, I know, yeah, you trying to hold down for big brother. Yeah, that's...
Something similar like this happened last year. I had to go to my niece's wedding. I forget who was. We was playing somebody. I had to go out of town. So the wedding was actually on Friday. And my plane was the next morning. So I was rushing, trying to get back to the game. And I ended up getting to the game by the time the first quarter started. And I was like, I said, boy, your kids know they something else, man. They know they ain't nothing about no football season, man. Don't come to me about that. Like,
man, it's that time, man. It's that time of year. You know, even when I tell myself, man, I ain't watching this shit because we've been bad or whatever, I still be like, yeah, all right, what you going to do? Go walk around the pumpkin patch? You know what I'm saying? I'm not about to ignore the season. I'm going to get my analysts on. Like, the coach is going to listen to me. Like, I'm going to turn it on just to be like, see, the problem is we're not utilizing the run game enough. That's why we keep losing. I don't care how bad that shit is. I'm going to tune in every week, bro. I'm going to be there week after week watching the same thing this time of year. Please. I usually actually put it up on my own. It just came up, actually, a few days ago in my memories on Facebook. All right, let's make the rules clear. It's that time of year. Y'all know, don't bother me. Don't call me. Check the Canes schedule first. See what you need. I'm probably going to ignore you and be honest with you. Like, especially if we losing and I see a phone call or a text, I'm like, man, you can get the hell out of my face right now. I'm like, nah, you know damn well I'm pissed off right now. Give me a few minutes. And I'm good about, like, once the game over, you know, I ride that high or that low for about an hour, and that's it. Moving on. But during that game, bro, give me my time, give my space, let me do what I do. Then we'll come on back to it, man. We'll come on back to it.
I tell everybody, look, man, when August hit, I mean, August to January, man, just relax. Don't bother me. Don't bother me on weekends. You know what I'm saying? Just be smart about it. Don't bother me on weekends.
Yeah, save yourself. Don't get your feelings hurt.
Yeah, like, come on. I don't bother y'all. Look, when y'all got y'all stuff going on, I don't bother y'all. Don't bother me on my time, man. This is my relaxation time where I want to watch football.
Yeah, and then they want to take shots at you or something. As you know, because, yeah, you get the double win because you're a Canes and Cowboys fan. So they're going to be talking. You still worrying about that team? Hey, man. Look. Look, man. Maybe, you know, you get the luxury of team hopping and, you know, bandwagon riding. I don't get that. So I got to stay down with this team.
I'm stuck.
Yeah, and when it come around to this time of year, I'm putting some hope on it every single year that this year something going to be different that's going to change the course of this season. And the trajectory of these football teams. So, yeah, you downing me only making me more upset with you, to be honest with you. You like, oh, this what you want to do? Man, you worry about them Canes? Hey, look here, brother. Look here. Don't do that. Don't do that. You know I'm worried about that team.
I had a chick years ago. She be like, man, you spending all that money on traveling to go see the Canes? I said, well, would you rather me spend it on you? She's like, yep. See, well, that's why we ain't together, because you are spending on you, and I can't spend it on myself. No. I'm gonna spend my money on my Canes and my Cowboys. I go to see the Cowboys at least once or twice a year.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm traveling to the Canes. Like, no, leave me alone.
At least you are honest. I really man,
I tell my wife all the time, you'd rather be entertained by sports or by going out. I'm like, I'm at the house.
Yeah.
You know the Canes gonna play for about 3-4 hour window, and you know. With NFL by 3-4 o'clock, I just want to watch that last hour of all them games. Yeah. But it's been funny because, you know, Miami ain't been good, and she graduated from Clemson. So she'd be like, I wouldn't mind building the schedule around Miami. Y'all's winning games, but that's what it's been the last couple years. So it's like, we build the schedule around them, y'all lose, and then you upset and ruining the whole Saturday. So I'm just like, I just need Miami to do right this year. So.
Right, dude. As I'm saying, every year is new hope, bro. Every year is renewed hope and a new chance for something better. It's every year. So, it is. All so far, we all to a good start. You know, you get to have that renewed hope and that much more reason to be like, no, baby, I'm going to be happy on Saturdays. So, don't worry about it. And then we got a weird schedule anyway. So, you got Thursday for the next game and so, hell, that's great for the weekend. I do kind of like that, even though it's, like, short turnaround. I'm like, well, what a perfect time, you know, to go ahead and get that out the way. And then when the weekend come up, we can relax with our W in our back pocket and watch these other teams that, you know, we might want to see fail or just scout the ACC, see the teams we get ready to play.
That's why that's I love always noon fun. Kickoffs, man. I love a noon kickoff. Because if you can too, get that game out of the way, your team wins, you got the whole weekend still ahead of you. Now, if y'all lose, you know it's bad.
Yeah, but it's still good because you can go ahead and unplug. You can
still enjoy your weekend.
Yeah, you like, all right, well, that's done with. Nah, let me get off social media. I know what's going on. I know they're coming at my neck. So let me just get off of that.
Them late night games, it'd be like, it'd be hard. It'd be detrimental to your sleep, man. You'd be like, damn, I can't even go to sleep right
no,
now.
No, hell no. I be napping. I be not, except for now I work the night shift, so my sleep schedule different. But, like, before, like, last season when I was on days, oh, yeah, I see a 7:30 kickoff. I'm like, oh, this is definitely a I'm gonna turn on the noon game. I'm going to start pouring them up. I'm going to fall asleep by that 3-something game, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock kickoff. I'm gonna watch like the first quarter of that, maybe first half, get that nap on, then it's back up for the late kickoff. Yeah, I plan my whole days around kickoff, bro. I got to really love you, and it's got to be a very special event for me to miss it, man. I done miss weddings because of Canes game, but it's because, like, look, the only weddings I miss because of the Canes game, bro. Real talk. These my homeboy's third marriage. I'm like, man, if you don't get out my damn face. Marriage number 3. Shit. Well, we got Duke this week. And then get our ass whooped by Duke. I'm like, you can talk all the shit you want to.
If it's your third marriage, why are you having a wedding during football season?
Like, yeah, I'm like, come on, bro. Get the hell out of here.
Man, I finessed
my wife. Man, it was your third marriage. Why you having a wedding, period? You ain't spent enough money on a wedding?
Bro, that's what I'd be saying. Like, but you know what it'd be is, like, it'd be the chick first wedding.
Man, I wouldn't care if it was the chick first wedding or what. Look, I spent already 40, maybe 50,000.
Yeah, yeah. I done did this twice.
You think I'm going to do it again?
Yeah, no. Nah. Another 20K.
Look here, man. We go buy us a house. I buy you a new car or something. I'm saying, I ain't doing this walking down the aisle no more.
$20,000 party, bro. Hell nah.
Like, we had our wedding. It was in April. It was like, hey, March Madness going on. Yeah. May or may it's spring break.
Spring's
like
a beautiful time. That's the time for renewal.
Free, yeah.
That's a great time to get married. That's like
people having October weddings. I'm like, come on, bro. Like you could have found a way to move that to the spring. Why are you having a fall wedding? Not every year you compromise during football season. Every year for the rest of your life,
bro. Yeah, every year you got to celebrate on this. Like, nah, hell no. Nah.
Like, I got homeboys that from UF. They got married. He had his wedding when LSU played Florida every year. I'm like, why would you do that?
We're celebrating this week. Man, now you're getting in trouble for looking at your phone. You watching that game, ain't you? Yes, I'm watching the game, man. I don't know why I made this mistake, but I did it, okay? I remember my boy got married week one, bro. And all of us are football fanatics. All of us. And we all are in the limo. And this is when ESPN, this is so long ago, this is when they first had the streaming where you can stream the football games on your phone or whatnot. So literally everybody in the car is either a Gator, a Noel, or a Kane. And I remember that we was playing BC. That was Duke Johnson. He was going crazy. He was running all over BC that game. And I'm in the car. That's my baby boy right there. What y'all know about that? Everybody on a different game going crazy. And we had the wedding in between that time. I was like, Pat, you tripping, bro. I can't believe you did this. But, you know, the old lady won that one. Anyways, bro, let's get into a little bit of this Canes football talk.
What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
Yo, what up, what up, what up? Welcome back to 26 Degrees. Your Miami Hurricanes Barbershop Talk. Gang's here. We got a few. Well, actually, it's going to be like a 2 to 4 man weave. Who knows? You know, we get creative over here. Meezy is in there educating somewhat. Maul's, you know, holding it down with the children. Did y'all know that black men spend more time with their children than any other race? And we get such a bad stigma, bro. That's so crazy. That's actual factuals. We spend more time with our children, which I know to be true for my homeboys, actually. I know X have his kids all the time. Maul, obviously, one of my best friends. All of them had their kids all the time, bro. My friends love their kids, bro. Quit throwing that on us. Anyways, Football. I'm about going a whole nother different rabbit hole. But, yeah, man, welcome back. We fresh out that W on your main man, Larry. Kicking it with my guy, X, today. X, say what up to the people.
What's up, man? What's up, y'all, man? We back, football season. Week three?
Yeah.
Told y'all the ball games got to get played, man. They being played, and we here now.
Yeah. That's That's funny, man. Before we even get into that a little bit, Meezy, you gonna say what's up? Or you,
What's good, man? I'm over here pulling double duty over here, teaching the future youth of America. You know,
yo,
man,
where
I figured out how
we gonna start
with the boys.
We're gonna start getting the YouTube though. I want y'all to see how Meezy is purveying the whole scene. Why he trying to be on the show too? That joke ahead on the swivel like a security guard.
Hey man, hey, you look at the wrong place for 5 seconds, all hell breaks.
Yeah, everything that went wrong.
All it takes is 5 seconds.
Yeah, get down from there. Where you get a lighter from?
Right.
But my man Maul in the background, man, holding us down, super producing for us as usual. It's funny though, X said it before we get into that game. He said that A&M didn't do nothing to impress him. And I watched that game actually. I didn't see the game when he tweeted it, but it came on replay. So I was sitting in the house one night after work and I saw it on replay. I said, "Oh, let me check the game out." And I'm like, feel like him. Like, yeah, they didn't really impress me. Those receivers did what they were supposed to do against very poor competition, but I was like, yeah, it wasn't nothing too crazy. They did what they were supposed to do, like we were supposed to do. But, you know, some of y'all, you know who y'all are, jumping out the window because we ain't throw it around to y'all 45 times against, you know, Miami of Ohio. Y'all was all panicked already. And I get it, it's still that PTSD. But you had to go to therapy, man. Let that shit go, man.
Hey, so I was ready to throw Tyler Van Dyne. That's the new name. I call him Tyler Van Dyne. No, I don't call him TBD no more.
Yeah, he ain't TBD no more.
They was ready to throw Tyler Van Dyne under the bus. They were like, oh, man, he's still blah, 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 blah. I'm like, man, y'all chill, man. This, but yeah, if he'd have threw the ball for 500 yards, would y'all be happy against the team of Ohio? Like,
yes, they would, honestly. Because they be playing video games. That's why. They not thinking real life football. They thinking video game tactics. And it's like, nah, man, you know, you have a real life coach. And he's got a strategy and there's a method and to the madness. And that's what most good coaches would do, I promise y'all, in that situation against a probably going to be pretty good Miami of Ohio team as far as, like, where they compete at. They'll probably be a pretty solid team all in all. So, yeah, he did that. And then I watched the A&M game, and, yeah, I wasn't impressed either. They didn't do anything special. It's just that they the talent was clearly the talent gap was clearly huge, and they just decided to throw the ball around instead of running it because they couldn't run it that well, to be honest with you. They were having trouble running that football, even against New Mexico. So they didn't necessarily have that lead dog really when it comes to running back and everything. But anyways, so yeah, I just wanted to get that out of the way. He did call that shot a little early. They were not that impressive a squad. And I kind of agree with it. They deep, they talented as far as that goes, as far as star power goes. But as Canes fans, you ought to know that ain't everything. It's been that situation plenty of times. If it came down to the stars, you know, we would never have these seasons that we've had. But it takes a little bit more than that. So, we did go, we didn't go. The game was obviously at home. Ended up defeating Texas A&M 48-33.
Electric. The stadium was electric, man. It wasn't the Notre Dame game. Everybody was expecting it to be that. It wasn't that.
No.
But it was definitely loud. You know, and the crazy thing is, it rained. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of fans did just chill on the outer parts of the stadium. You know what I'm saying? But the stadium was loud. It was electric. The players loved it. Yeah, I don't know, man, what people talk about. You know, we have stadium, whatever, man. We won 48-33. You know, that's the only thing that matters.
Yeah, the I think they say they sold around 48,000 tickets, I want to say, somewhere up in there. But you could see just from, like, yeah, the upper decks was pretty empty. Most of the lower bowl was pretty full, and the crowd noise was great. They was turned up. So.
And to add to that really quick, I heard A&M didn't even sell all of their tickets. So as much as people was talking about A&M going to fill up half the stadium, like, they didn't even sell their allotment of tickets.
Yeah, because, I mean, how well is A&M probably going to really travel, especially to Miami? Like, I don't know how well A&M travels in general, but they kind of – them people don't want to come to no Miami, man. That's too much of a culture shock for them.
Yeah. It's not like how Michigan State traveled down here because they're in Michigan.
Yeah. Like,
going to Miami is a big, big change.
One of the reporters said for the game, actually, he was like, that's one of the last 2 years on last Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, you can generate the noise with – I mean, 48,000 people is not a small amount of people. That's not a little amount of people. It's just that stadium seats, what, about 60?
65.
Okay, about 65,000, right. That's what I was
thinking. And it's so spread out. It's so spread out where it's like, you know, normally a college stadium, you know, it's a lot closer because, for one, they don't have seats, individual seats. They got bleachers still.
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's so spread out. You got fans still in the parking lot tailgating throughout the whole game, literally. And when I mean literally, I mean literally outside still. You got fans that's at the bars inside the stadium that just saying, man, I want to stay out here and get drunk. You know what I'm saying? And it's a little bit, right. You know, it's kind of hot out there. So it's like, who cares? You know what I'm saying? What's important is what's being displayed on the field. You know what I'm saying? So what's displayed on the field made them fans that did show up cheer. And guess what? It was loud as hell. So it's like.
Absolutely. They had every reason to be. you know, we'll get into, we'll break the game down a little bit. Not necessarily into the minutiae of it, but we, you know, we not really going to do much of a preview of this week's opponent. By the time y'all actually hear this, this is Wednesday, so by the time y'all hear this, it'll be, we'll be playing them this, that evening. I tried to set a little something up, but I couldn't get the timing set just right. You know, CJ went to Bethune. Shout out to my dog, CJ. But we couldn't quite get the timing lined up for that one. And I mean, I can preview that game for y'all right now. We're going to win by a lot. We're going to get an opportunity. Emery Williams is going to put on campaign for QB1.
I mean, we won 70 on them last year, didn't we? We was trash as hell.
I think yeah, it was like 70-13 last year. So.
Yeah, so it, be, expect something in that neighborhood. Emery Williams is going to have all y'all really excited and forgetting about Jakari.
I mean, I think both of them going to end up playing. So I think
probably so. You just get
to see both. I mean, to be honest, I really don't want to see much of TBD after the first drive anyway.
It'd be nice. But I mean, he deserved to get the pass some stats too. You know, because he off to a good start. So let him get some stats. And then, you know, once you get him about 300 yards, let him go sit down and let the young boys get in there and get some snaps in. We'll see. I expect something of that nature, yeah.
TBD, like the first drive, Emery the rest of the first half, Jacory the rest of the second half?
I do TBD first quarter, and after first quarter, you go sit down. You know what I'm saying? You ain't – because it's not going to up his stock after this game. You know what I'm saying? What it is, you know, get you some stats so you can create – still keep that momentum going.
We can get a Heisman campaign going.
Yeah, keep that momentum going from your previous week, you know. Yeah. And it's kind of sad because of the – we got Bethune this week and then we got Temple next week. So it's like, you know what I'm saying? How much do he really play as much as that, you know? But the good thing about it is after those two games, now you're in ACC play. Yeah. Every game means more, you know what I'm saying?
And Temple, you know, not to get too far ahead, Temple is – traditionally been a little tougher than they are right now.
What's their record?
I don't know.
I heard somebody saying the backup can play and beat Temple. I'm like, damn, Temple used to be better than Temple used to put up fights, but
yeah, Al Golden, bro. Al Golden, bro. They are Temple is 1-1, so they have played Rutgers. Rutgers beat them 36-7, and they played Akron, and they beat Akron 24-21. So, but this ain't, like I said, this ain't necessarily the Temple we kind of used to from Al Golden. Kind of built something pretty decent there. But anyways, back into this game, y'all. A couple of key stats. Speaking of Tyler Van Dimes, he looked like a surgeon out there, man. Had a couple of drops, but even with those, he was able to go out there and be 21 for 30, 374 yards, and 5 touchdowns. I thought he just looked sharp, precise with his footwork and his passes. I think he made like every throw really that you want to see.
I don't think he threw a bad pass, to be honest.
Nah, I don't either, y'all. I don't either. Yeah, there was a couple of drops and probably some good contested passes, but I thought he just looked really sharp out there. He looked like the guy that was getting hyped coming into last year, but then the offense was trash. And the O-line was trash. So the hype died down quick. And then he got injured as well. So, you know, you had all those factors going against him. But like I said, this guy early on can do some things that, yeah, if we continue to win, he can start getting the hype train going. So that was Tyler looked sharp, played the whole game, obviously, against this opponent. Henry Parrish, 10 carries, 50 yards. My guy really wanted to see step up, man. Really did his thing. Jacoby George, 5 catches, 94 yards, 3 touchdowns. Jacoby is still like, that's, man, he's one of my favorite kids to root for. And it's so funny. Like, I know y'all all saw it when he caught that pass in between the two defenders. And you could tell his body language, bro. He thought he was going down. And then he fixed his helmet and kept running. And I literally was yelling at the TV, keep going, boy. Like, what you doing? Like, the play not over.
Yeah, that was crazy. Because I was like, how you got time to fix your helmet while you running? Like, that was crazy to me.
Jacoby, man, if he can continue to tighten up that focus, he actually looks like that four-star kid that when we brought in that class, a lot of people said he might be the best of the bunch out of those wide receivers.
I damn so said it. I mean, I was on the Jacoby train since high school, man. He's like that for real. You know, his thing is he's finally trying to put it all together. He's focused, you know what I'm saying? Because he knows he's at a time where he has a coach that's pushing him to his maximum ability. And it's like he knows that the coach is recruiting and getting other players to come. So he's right. Like, I don't want to be that guy that's complaining and I'm not getting in the game. You know what I'm saying? So I got to do it. And Mario and Coach KB, they made it. They emphasized that they want him specifically to be good, you know, to achieve his goals, because he's really like that for real.
Right. And, I mean, he showed it. That game, he showed us why he had the hype coming in, why we thought this kid could be special. We had early returns on him. He showed us flashes. He kind of reminded me, I can't remember why I heard it. Might have been Navarro, but I was like, that's exactly how I see him. He kind of reminded me of the DJ Ivy of the offense. He'll do all these good things, and you know, and then the boneheaded stuff is just really bad. It's like, ah, that's what you. That's
y'all
what
think
you.
He could be an NFL player.
He's literally, if he stays on pace right now, he's literally doing what Rambo did for us when TVD had that good year. You know, the thing about it is TVD spreading the ball out, so he has three receivers he can throw the ball to.
Rambo not in the league though, right?
No, he's not. I mean, but Jordan,
he might be with the Eagles. I can look that up real quick. I know he originally went to that Orlando team. And then the Eagles brought him in. I'm not sure if he's still with him or not. I can look at that real quick. But go ahead.
Yeah, George is he's better than Rambo. He just got to focus. You know, he dropped that one pass in the back of the end zone. That one hurt my heart because I was like, boy, it was just a beautiful pass. That was a pass that every wide receiver dreams about catching it back in the end zone.
Was that before or after he dropped the punt return?
That was after.
Hey, real quick about the punt return. I swear on everything I love. When that ball was up in the air, something told me, I'm like, he's going to drop it. I don't know if anybody else caught that ball. I just felt it. I was like, there's no reason he should be catching it. Something just told me when I saw it. I'm like, something just didn't look right about the whole thing. I'm like, he about to drop it. Like, I knew he was going to drop it. I didn't even get mad. I was like, this man, something looked a little off about that whole sequence.
Yeah, I mean, my thing is, I feel like that every time the punt go up, damn near. And that's why I have so much love for Braxton Berrios. Shout out to my man B-Square, bro. Like, catch the ball, man. That's so important. And he was the only guy back there that just made me comfortable. Like, I ain't. You know, we got Brax. We good. He going to catch it. He may turn it up the field for 14 yards, something like that. I'm good with that. I know everybody want the electrifying returns. That's fun. I get it. It's a Miami tradition.
Oh. My dad called me after he dropped that. He said, put you a white boy back at punt return. You won't ever lose no sleep. They're going to catch the ball.
They're going to catch the ball. That's all you worry about. All that turning up and making 17 cuts. And, nah.
Yeah, just... realistically, how many times are you really
right
score or like get 10-plus yards on a punt return realistically?
Right. It's rare. That's why I like Berrios. It was, hey, he's just smart with it. And, I mean, it translated to the NFL. He was one of the best punt returners. I want to say last year or the year before, he made Pro Bowl off of it. So, yeah, A1 is security, and that always bothers me. And I still don't, you know, because we try him again. He is good at the return part. He just could be shaky with the securing the football part. So, when he first went back there, my stomach was in knots, and I be damned. I said, oh, here we go. You know, that's a good point. I'm glad you brought it up to me. Like, how y'all boys was feeling? Just because how the game started off, because, yeah, I got into a couple of stats, but let's go into just a little bit of the flow of the game.
The first quarter, went after they brought the punt, I was like, damn, man. I was like, this is Miami of the last 20 years. I'm like, here we go again. I think I had Roach on. I'm like, I've seen this story before. After that, what happened? Something else happened after that.
After the muff punt?
They blocked the punt.
They blocked one of our punts, and then we muffed the punt, and they blocked the punt.
You're right. So, because, yeah.
We ended up scoring.
Yeah, we fought back, yeah, because the early muff, the early block got them an easy touchdown, right? So that was short field. I think Wegman ran that one in.
Then the muff gave him a field goal.
Right. But we fought back, you know, got to 7. How quickly?
Wait, after the muff, it was 10-7.
They
right?
went up 10-0 on us. They went up 10-0.
Right. 10-0 initially, right. Drive,
and then we drove, then we stopped them. No, they missed the field goal, right? And then it was up 10-0, and then ended up driving and scored. Jacoby scored that play. And then what happened after that? A&M, they drove down and missed the field goal.
No, it wasn't Kobe. It was Kobe Young scored, not Jacoby.
That's what I'm saying. Kobe Young.
Then they went and they drove. They got it down. They scored 17. It was 17-7.
Right. Okay.
17-7, oh, yeah. And then, you know, we start moving the ball. And then that's when we end up throwing the big bomb to Horton. Then it was 17-14.
Right.
And then our defense from there was just lights out. Like, they weren't getting nothing at all. So
yeah. I got nervous though that first quarter, man. I was like, the same old. And then the pass interference, Maui Goa got on defense and stuff on that 3rd and 10.
Yeah, that's basically, first down, we shut them down. Like, we were shutting them down. Yeah. They basically got points off of our mistakes, our penalties. They best thing they had going for them in the first half was running to Mark Daniels. You know, and then once we kind of clapped down on that, that's when they just said, well, now we got to throw the ball every play. You know what I'm saying? Because we pressured them out of his 57 dropbacks. We pressured him, I think it was 28 times. We was in his face.
Yeah. So
that's like almost 57, 58% of the time right. He dropped back.
A lot of pressure on him. We didn't get any actual sacks that game. But, yeah, he was under pressure the entire game. A lot of heat on him. That D-line looked it looked very impressive, very fast. Reuben Bain played a hell of a lot of snaps, and he looked like he belonged already.
And you know who played good? He played good. I don't know if he recorded any stats, but he played good. Just watching the game again and paying attention to him, Harrison Hunt, man. He was out there throwing people around. I'm like, hold on, where you get this? Where you get that from? Because I'm like, I thought, you know, okay, he's a little quick tweener. He'll beat you off, but he's tossing niggas around like, oh, get out of here.
He's got pretty good size because he is about 280, 290?
Yeah, about 6'4", 6'4 and a half, 290. Yeah,
you know, he don't look super big, I think, because he's a little stretched out, 6'4", and he just kind of athletic. He was a basketball player too, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, he don't look quite as big as some of these other guys down there, but I noticed that too when I was watching the replay. I was like, yo, boy, goodness, he's being just active. Because Branson Dean, shout out to him, you know, the jokes was there because, you know, a little smaller side. Bruh, he wreaked havoc on them O-lines,
yeah,
bro.
Yeah, Dean wreaks havoc, man.
Sheesh.
Hopefully, man, hopefully he's back soon, man. We don't.
Yeah, because he is. He know how to work his physical abilities to the utmost. He uses good leverage and he just seems like he slips between these offensive linemen and is in the quarterback lap fast, causing a lot of issues up front. So, yeah, we ended up getting out of the first quarter. You know, we spotted them. We ended up having the touchdown pass to Kobe Young, 10-7. And they were able to answer back pretty quick. You know, like X mentioned, Mark Daniels was doing a little something. He ripped off a 9-yard touchdown. And that was really the end of it. After that, we had Isaiah Horton answer right back, and he got that 52-yard bomb. And I'm so happy for Kid because, you know, I got on him last week saying, man, what's up with bro? He look a little lost, look confused out there, and it's like it's almost like he listened. He's like, hey,
I tell you the truth. They pay attention, man. They pay attention.
They hit a little stuff. Man.
I like to think of myself as a motivator.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. I want to see you win. You got the good guys' colors on. I want to see you get out there and do your thing. So great bounce back for him. Caught that 52-yard bomb. Turned it upfield. Got that.
Hey, now Meezy say he was. He was kind of scared on the punt return when that ball was in the air, and I seen the number out there. I was like, oh, Lord. I said, come on, let him catch this.
Hey, just bring it on in, baby.
You ain't got to score, just catch it. But when he caught it, he cut right. I was like, oh, shit, just a touchdown.
Let's go. And from that point on, that's why I asked about the early field. Because my early field, if you go in our group chat, you can see it. My early field, bro, was, here we go. Same team. Attitude's not changed. I'm worried about that punch in the mouth. I did have more confidence, though, because I could see the efficiency of the offense. So I was like, okay, well, I know now we can just move this ball. So if you stay mentally within this game, it's going to be okay. You just can't let the deficit take you out the game this early in the game.
I'm going to tell you, even when they was up 17-7, before that touchdown, I'm like, I say, we got this. Because I say, man, I could see a difference with the players. You know what I'm saying? Like, they kind of in tune. Last year, when we got down, the players just were like, okay.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They're looking to the coaches. And this year, it's like the players are actually saying, man, shit, we got this. But guess what? They not as good as everybody think they are. And I got to give a shout out to my guy, Big Game James Williams. He was talking that Dade County shit the whole game. And I kept telling people, I said, man, look, James going to have a good game. They're like, man, how you feel? I said, man, just watch. And every time James was hitting, he jump up and keep saying, I told you.
Yeah. I seen him chirping. He had his arms behind his back a lot of the times. He's after he hit somebody. And I could tell he was chirping. He was saying something to people.
Yeah, look, it was a big game because everybody, the whole thing is, okay, man, look, Texas A&M got all these 5 stars. You got maybe a few 5 stars. Our 5 stars are better than your 5 stars. Da, da, da.
Mm-hmm.
James kind of took that personal, like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. I'm glad he did. That's why I've been calling on him. Show up for me, big fella. I'm ready to see you make plays. You know what I'm saying?
James was chirping that game, bro. Oh, my God. After every play, he was chirping.
And then, you know, it didn't help for what Shamar Lewis said, and Amari Davis was talking shit all week. So, like,
y'all know. I know he told him.
James Williams was like, y'all know what type of nigga I am. And y'all going to still talk? All
right. I know he was telling him. He said, man, he probably told him, hey, the portal's still open, cuz. Y'all come on back home, man. I know. I understand. They gave you the bag, bro. You don't want to be on that country-ass bullshit, man. Come on back home, man. We're going to get you right, man. We're going to get you. They ain't getting you into the league. Look, we're kicking y'all ass, man. Y'all better come on back home. Don't play yourself, you know?
And that was the thing. Like you say, if you take away all our mistakes from that first quarter, we kicked their ass from that point on.
From that point on, yeah. There was nothing that they did. Once we scored again, like I said, it just let me know I don't think we're gonna lose this game. Like, I don't think so. I just feel like they're not scaring me. They haven't scared me just yet. So we end up going into the half.
21-17.
We got Jacoby George, the 11-yard pass. That was at the end of the quarter.
Oh my gosh. Before that Jacoby George pass, did you see the amazing throw that Tyler Van Dyne threw to Restrepo?
Oh, man. Yeah.
That was beautiful. That was an NFL throw. I was like,
Yeah. I couldn't believe how it just fell. Like, oh my God. Like, it's just like a drop in the basket. Like, those little drills they do. Well, you throwing it and you trying to drop it in these buckets out there. That's exactly what that looked like. That's why you practice that kind of stuff so that you can learn how to get it right over that defender.
Right over the.
And it's going to fall right into the hands of the receiver.
Beautiful. And guess what? Everybody complained. Oh, he always looking for his best friend. I mean, shit. If he goes.
Best friend did his thing. I love it. Shit. Best friend got loose.
Hey, if he going to do it like that, I love it.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, but hey, best friend had what I think nine for 123, I want to say
126, something like that. 126, yeah.
Let me see, I'm gonna make sure I give him his due. Six for 126, so average of 21. Didn't get in the end zone, but set us up a couple of times. Awesome, so and Kobe Young has 6 for 75. And obviously we talked about George, but George got the 3 touchdowns, bro. That's crazy. 5 for 94 and the 3 touchdowns. And obviously Isaiah Horton caught the other one. You know, so we're going to the half. 21-17. I'm feeling pretty good at this point. I'm on some gin. What am I on? I'm on some gin and juice, some grapefruit juice. I'm selling out in the living room. I'm screaming pretty loud. I'm vibing. I'm like, okay, this is going to be different this year. This is different. When we come back out, these guys put together a little piece of drive. Ended with a field goal, yeah. Now we 21-20.
I think that drive, we had some penalties on that drive defensively.
Yeah, to help set them up a little bit on that one.
Yeah, we had some penalties on that drive. That's my only negative away from the game. Penalties and our mishaps in the first quarter. We can't have penalties. I think we had 9 total penalties the whole game.
But we had 10. 10 penalties for 115 yards.
We can't do that. You can't. Right. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to beat the good teams. You know what I'm saying? I mean, whatever. You're not going to beat a team that's prepared like that.
Right. Nah. I couldn't agree more.
10 penalties, that's a game. Like, let's say, oh, shit. That's the whole – you said 115?
Yep, 115.
God damn.
10 penalties for 115. I agree with you wholeheartedly that, Maui Noah, and some of that's to be expected. He going to take some of his lumps out there as a true freshman. He had 3 holds. So I think obviously he's the most penalized. One of the holes, I was like, eh, I ain't really, I wasn't feeling that.
It was a pancake. I think he got it to his pass. I guess because he leaned on him, they caught it. You know what I'm saying? They
yeah. And miraculously, A&M didn't have any holes called against them.
They
were definitely holding, bro.
Wow. One of that guy's jersey almost came off his pads.
Bruh, it was one big play I want to say they hit to their wide receiver. The big kid, the 6'6 kid, Noah.
The one they scored a touchdown on?
I don't know if they scored a touchdown, but I know it was a big. And I was watching somebody get their jersey pulled backwards. And I'm like, it's clear as day. It's on the outside. It's not in the mix. It was the edge. I was like, look, he's completely pulling them backwards.
They grabbed number 13, Chaz Williams.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, man, come on, bro. Like, but, you know, we've been dealing with this. You know, Mark Rick sent the highlight tape of all the holes they ain't called against us when he came through. I don't know why they don't think we can get held. Maybe it's because them boys so fast up front. But they get held, I promise you. So, here comes the electric moment right after.
Oh, yeah. Electric. Hey, I'm going to tell you. Look, I'm standing up. I'm standing up in the I don't even know if I should say this, but I kind of left the press box and I went to a section where I wasn't supposed to be at. So, I'm standing up and I immediately say, I bet my dog get like 50 right now. And they kick that thing off. Boom. Took off.
Gone to the house. 98 yard kick return. Touchdown. It looked like a hole on that one. We got that one break. It was kind of early on it. But that's a hole on every play. That's the thing. So I'm like, if it's a hole on every play, bro, we should get some too. So luckily we got to get that one off. It was a little bit early. I don't think that guy necessarily was going to get to him anyway, but 90-90 boo-boo, sticky head and doo-doo, you know, stuck his foot in the ground, 98 yards, great return for Bashard. And from there, we never really looked back, man.
We went up 20, it was 28-20 on that one.
That puts us up 28-20.
And then we go down and score another field goal.
Yeah, we stopped. Yeah, we got a defensive stop. While we're talking real quick, send some more love over to the defense. What was my man name? 22.
Jaden Davis.
Davis. Y'all can't remember the last name. No, it was Jaden Davis. Jaden Davis had an awesome game, man. He was all over the field. And I noticed him. He was doing so good. I noticed him on the first watch. Like, just without even paying, he just was standing out in that game. I was like, bro, it's going crazy today.
The three smallest corners did the best that game.
Yep.
Porter,
yep. Couch. I was going to say Porter had a nice game as well. Shout out to the secondary in general. All we heard all week was about these top flight wide receivers they had.
Going to take y'all up top, da 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 da.
Yeah,
the longest pass was 44 yards. I think the next longest was like 15 or 12. So, I mean, where was the up top stuff that they were talking about?
And that was one of the only plays.
It wasn't for the third quarter, too.
Yeah, that was late. And that was the only beef I think I had with Davis that game, is he kind of went for the pick. And that's how they got that long completion. If he would have just went for the ball, that pass wouldn't even. That was the only thing I saw him do bad. I was like, oh, come on, bro. No, you know, I know it's over with. We kind of got them, but get that ball down. Just get the ball down at this point.
I like it, though. I like the aggression at the same time, though.
Yeah, as long as it don't come back to bite you too much.
Hey, look, Larry, like you say, PTS, we kind of got to say, hey, remember at one point we had corners who wouldn't even turn their head for the ball at one point. So now we got corners saying shit. Let me try to make a play.
Yeah, let me see if I can get it. Yeah,
I take it. You know what I'm saying?
Hell of a game. I wasn't even scared at that point, though. Like, at that point, I still was like, game over. I wasn't worried about it. My homeboy, Will, shout out Will. Will was like, nah, not yet, man. I said, man, go on with that soft-ass shit. Don't come in with that soft-ass shit. Hell nah. We winning, I say, hope is over. Game is over. It's done. I went ahead and got him out of there. So they were able to get back in the end zone a little bit after that. We had a defensive stop. Borgalis got him a field goal. We up 31-20. 31-20 is when I done bagged the game up. It just felt right to me. I felt like everything was cool. But then, credit to them boys, they turned back around and scored a touchdown. And I'm like, oh, okay, wait a minute. They got a pulse. Still not thinking they're going to win, but I'm like, they got a pulse. They can do a little something.
Or some more mishaps on us. They scored on some flags. Like, we just kept getting penalties. Like, God damn.
Giving them these shots. And I mean, shout out to the refs, man. You know, we always got to play y'all too. Y'all did your best, man. You gave a great effort. Like I said, I know how this game is played. There's no way you can look down in them trenches and see that kind of speed that we got on that D-line and not cause some holes. They got to be there, man. But they didn't have none. They had no calls. I think my boy might have got one, the freshman. The one we had wanted, Chase Basantes or whatever. He was playing right tackle as well, I want to say. Think he might got one. Or was that a false start? I can't remember. I think it was a hole. I don't know. Off top, I can look it up real quick. But, yeah, they was able to get in the end zone. They went for two. 2-point failed because they wanted to try to make it a 3-point game at that point.
You want to talk about that, Jimbo? We'll talk about the infamous, oh, they clapping on that.
Man, oh, yeah, yeah. Jimbo said sauce. Which, I mean, that's the thing. He not lying. It's just not for a coach to say nothing like that.
I mean, no, he's lying. Like, Jay, if you look at the play they talking about, James is looking at the corner trying to get the corner attention.
Oh, that's right. Oh, you're right. You're right. Somebody pointed that out to me. You're absolutely right, yep. He wasn't clapping him, no, off the count. He was trying, yeah, you're right, trying to get the attention of his team.
Remember, we sat through two seasons of the entire stadium clapping when N'Kozy Perry was the quarterback. You complaining about players clapping? Nigga, the whole stadium was clapping with the quarterback.
Jimbo like, this field was slippery. He told you why the field was slippery, too.
Oh, they changed the logo.
They changed the logos, man.
The Dolphins didn't even play that weekend. How the hell we changed the logo?
Hey, man, Jimbo got every excuse in the book. He ain't used to losing to Miami. You know, Jimbo won't lose to Miami. So it was a new feeling for him. And he wasn't ready to eat his humble pie, that's all. He was like, damn, I got to come up with something. The field, you know, the field's slippery. Then he tried to clean it up at the end. Well, you know, it's slippery for both teams. Exactly. So when people say shit like that, I'm like, what, you think? No, he did say something about the wrong cleats. Maybe we had the wrong cleats. Don't do that, bro. Don't do that. You knew where you was going to play at. You done played there before, right? A couple of times. You know the feel. That feel ain't no surprise to you. So let's see. Spin around. Jacoby ends up with the touchdown to answer back pretty quickly, because that's when we get into the fourth quarter. We're up five. We get it to the top of the fourth. We answer back in like the first 3-4 minutes, something like that. Jacoby George catches 3 yards to put us up at this point, 38-26. And kick it off. Defense, again, has a good stand. And we're able to get the ball back again. This time, we winding down. We get about, at this point, it's about 6 minutes left in the fourth. Borgalis nails a 50-yarder. That 50-yarder puts us up 41-26. And that's when it really truly was put to sleep. They were able to get back in one more time. That big tall kid, Noah Thomas. That's his last name. Noah Thomas. 6'6 kid. Big kid, man. He was able to get in the end zone one more time. They just took a regular extra point there. And just to make sure that they understood We wasn't going to let them win. We kind of irritated with them even getting back in the end zone because we ready to go ahead and get in the house. You know, I saw TVD on the sidelines, and I could see his confidence. I think his demeanor was different than we've seen in the past. I think he's a little more vocal. I think he's a quiet guy in general.
Yeah, he's quiet. He's just you know, a natural guy that just don't speak. He's not a loud speaker.
You're right. That's just not his bag.
He'll come up to the player and probably like whisper something in his ear, talk normally. He's not going to be that fiery guy that you see, that everybody wants to see.
Yeah, and that's not every, you know, that's not every QB. You be who you are, you know, and be the best at that. But I could see him because the way that the media shot it, they was on the sidelines and they showed Tyler right after that last score they had. Because at this point, it's an 8-point game. So they do actually have a chance, you know, to get the ball back, get in, and get a 2-point. And then, you know, now we're looking at overtime.
But I think at that point, even before that score, I think those Dawson was saying, like, he kept getting the TV in the ear, like, hey, man, we ain't stopping. We going to keep going. We going to keep scoring.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, it ain't, we're going to play vanilla and run his clock out. Everybody, that's what everybody expect Mario to do. But Mario is allowing his coordinators to play the game that they know.
Yeah, because, I mean, he was throwing darts. Why stop? The momentum, you know, these scores happened, but I still felt like we held on to the momentum well. And I could see him on the sideline, and he was like, all right, one more time. Just got to do it one more time. He was talking to the guys, like, hey, one more. He looked super confident. Like, all right, fellas, come on, let's go get this one more touchdown and we can get on to the crib, bro. And that's exactly what they did. That was the 64-yard, Jacoby George. Let me get my helmet straight.
Let me fix my helmet.
Yeah, I'm gonna be on TV. You know what I'm saying? Split the defenders.
It's almost like he was trying to take a pose. Like, hey, I caught the ball. I broke the tackle.
He knew he was down. That's what was funny about it. Because like I said, I literally yelled at the TV, boy, keep going. Boy, what you doing? Keep going. And then he looked back like, oh, shit. They on the ground. And then he took all diagonal across that field. I said, there you go. Don't go straight. Get him that diagonal. Get him the angle. Punched it in. And that was ball game, man. Just a great output by the offense in general. The defense I was very proud of. You know, minus a couple of the penalties. Like X said, we got to clean that up. That just, you know, we just can't win week in and week out like that against the better teams.
And then, you know, the one thing I said, I said it the other day, I got a certain fan base mad. I say, for one, we're not going to play another D-line like how we face. And we're not going to see another offensive line like how we, like that offensive line was massive.
Absolutely.
Massive. Both offensive line and D-line were massive. Like,
right. You know, very big guy.
On the college football team.
Which I think, in all honesty, was one of the things I felt good about because they don't sack. They did get to him, oddly enough. They're not a high sack team. I think they got to Tyler, let me check those. I want to say twice.
I think you could say twice. I mean, I only seen one throughout the game. So the second one, I can't even remember. But I think on the stat line, they say two times.
Yeah, but I want to say the stat said twice. Let's see if I can find it on here. But I think that's actually kind of to their detriment. I don't think they built that D-line very smart. Because everybody's just a huge hulking type figure. And I don't know, you know, if you have that edge guy.
I don't know. Them boys, they kind of athletic and fast.
Now, man. Stewart.
For them to be that big.
Yeah. For I was going to say, Stewart is what we thought he was.
Stewart.
Shamar.
Both Stewart. Shamar Stewart and Shamar Turner.
Those are the guys who got the sacks. It was one for each.
Those guys are fast. Like, I didn't.
Yeah.
I knew Shamar Stewart was like that, but I'm like.
Yeah, we knew that, right? Yeah. Like,
oh, goddamn.
They got Walter fast. Nolan. They're pretty big. It just, like I said, it hadn't really turned into a lot of sacks. He's still looking at NFL guys. I just think maybe the construction or the scheme doesn't put them in the best situation to get, you know, to get the pressures and the sacks that you would expect. So yeah. maybe they need
think,
to look at
I think
at,
the way they played the game, they looked at it like, okay, well, Miami revamped the O-line. They think they're going to come in and play bully ball, so we just going to put our big boys up on the line with them. Ain't going to be no bully ball, you know what I'm saying? So while they're trying to rush the quarterback, now knowing that, well, our O-line can block, they can block, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
They gave TVD, and they gave him so much time. So it's like, them guys saying, okay, coach, yeah, we can't get to them, so now what? You know what I'm saying? That was right. that was it. And that's why I like our coordinators. Our coordinators both say, look, we would never allow the opposing team to dictate what we're going to do. We're going to do what we got to do.
Right.
And they're going to have to stop it. You know what I'm saying? And if they can't stop it, guess what? We're going to keep rolling.
Yeah. Let's see. Rushing yards, see, and they did well there, which that's what made me really happy about this game, I guess, in summation was, remember all offseason, the narrative was Mario not going to let Shannon Dawson throw the football. He was going to make him run it 43 times a game, no matter what. A&M was doing a good job against the run. We ran for 77 yards. And we was like, hey, that ain't working all that great. So we're gonna throw the football around. We're going to throw the football around the yard. And it worked. It's what you got to do. Is adjust, you know, that's what I like about Guidry said is somebody said preparation was, you know, the most important thing. And he was on Twitter and he's like, I got to disagree. I want to say it's adjustments because you could prepare for whatever. But if you are successful in stopping that, they're going to go somewhere else. They're going to say, okay, they know we just want to run and they're killing it. So now we're going to adjust and we're going to, and his ability to adjust for both of our coordinators is what I think was able to get us this game handily and never really feel like we were going to be out of this game once we got on top.
See, I still feel like the run game was effective, though.
I mean, it kept them honest. You know, they didn't completely abandon it.
Yeah, well, we did, like, what, 24 carries, something like that, 20-something carries?
And we averaged, what, almost 5 yards a carry, 4.5 or something like that, I think.
So, let's see, we had, was it team totals? 24 carries, yep. 24 carries. Parrish was 10 for 50. A.J. Allen was 5 for 22. Fletcher was 4 for 6. He ended up getting hurt a little bit early in that game. He, you know, I think we was looking to use him a little bit more in that game as well. And Chaney was 3 for 11. So, I mean, it wasn't what you would want out your running game.
It wasn't last week. You know what I'm saying? Last week was – but again, like I say, I don't think we're playing another D-line that's this big.
No, hell no. When we get to play Florida State, we'll play, of course, they got Verse. Well, really good athletic kid off the edge. They have more athletic front. Yeah.
They're faster, but they ain't big like that. This O-line was big. This D-line was big.
Yeah, I expect us to exploit on the ability to run more in that Florida State game than I did in this one. Because I knew just how big that defensive front was.
You can literally tell maybe 5 or 6 of those guys on Texas A&M D line to switch and play offensive line. That's how big they are.
Yeah,
they big, man.
That's facts. And they weigh little numbers.
They got a guy on there, number 3, number 0. I'm like, well, goddamn.
He's big mother.
They got a jersey that can fit that guy. That guy's big.
Shit. Shamar wear number 4. Shamar Turner wear number 5. Nolan wear number 0. Yeah, these some big old jokers with these little numbers up front,
hey,
bro.
I was impressed with Nolan, man. Nolan.
Yeah, he's as advertised too.
Nolan can move
for that size he played. That boy can move, man.
Those guys going to the league. That's the thing. I think it may be more of a scheme thing. All them boys that was 5 stars that went there, part of that class, they going to go to the league. It is more shocking to me that their stats aren't padded a little more than you might think. That's all. But they're going. They all league players. None of those guys not going. So it'd be a situation where they're gonna outperform their college, performance, and you'd be like, oh shit, yeah, I remember such and such. Kind of went over to A&M. You ain't really hear a lot about him, because he didn't rack up, 10 sacks. But they're going to go into the NFL and have a long, fruitful career.
Yeah, they just NFL players, period. They just
Yeah, that's just what it is, This is what it is there. Outside of that, man, just a pretty solid all-in-all game. We had Cam got hurt towards the end.
Yeah, it's a small concussion. He's all right, but they're gonna hold him out this week.
Yeah, against BC. So, like I say, by the time y'all guys are listening to this, we'll have a game tonight. Yeah, sure, he won't play in that game. Wouldn't even make sense. But we were just happy to see him because they put him on the card. And, I'm going to tell you, for me to feel so high in that game, I came back. I didn't even know who was hurt. I think I went to use the restroom. And I came back and I was like, what's going on? And I seen players on the sidelines crying. And I'm like, yo, who's hurt? Like, who's hurting? And how bad is this thing? It took a lot of wind out of my sails. Then I found out it's Cam, and I'm like, oh, no.
Man, it took everything out of the stadium, trust me. You ain't the only one.
Yeah, that was.
Went from electric to you could literally hear somebody. You can hear the baby talking to somebody across the field or something.
Yeah, man. It was, because what he means to the team is way bigger than his play. He's the leader of the team, huge community leader, and then obviously has a bright future in football, barring something horrible happening. And so, this is what I'm thinking, and I'm like, no, man, not this kid. Not that you want to see anybody hurt, obviously, but just a great kid, man. Just a great kid all around. So was really happy to see him back up. And, he gave a thumbs up out of the hospital bed. He's good to go. Seems like most of that was precautionary.
Yeah, it just took him, make sure everything is good. That's just, you have to do that. You know what I'm saying? Before you let him get back on the field and practice, whatever, you just got to do that. So he's good. Dean, he's day to day. Mesidor, we trying to figure out if it's really, really, really bad, or is it possible for him to come back one season? We don't know yet. Who else? Najee Kelly just dinged up. Mark Fletcher, he might be out this week. Like I said again, I think even all these names I just named, I would rather not see none of them play.
Yeah, not this week. Yeah. Hell, and if you can help it, not against Temple, that was, like you said, size-wise and stuff, we won't see nothing like that again. There'll be some other physical teams, but I knew that was going to be a game where, it's going to be some banging going on, especially down in them trenches, man, and it was an opportunity to, so we actually walked away from that game fairly healthy. I'm happy with that, all in all. I knew somebody was going to get hurt. It's just too many big boys around there. The opportunity is going to be there. So I think we came out of it fairly healthy, all things considered. So that's awesome. And then we're going into this situation where we got Bethune-Cookman tonight. We have Temple the next week. And then we got a bye. And then we'll start ACC play, Georgia Tech at home. That'd be my first game I can attend. I was supposed to go to Texas A&M. Shout out to my niece, hit me at the last minute. She caught me literally about packing up. I was like, I started to tell her I ain't got it. How they do it like that? I was like, oh, man. Well, you sure know the pick'em. I was like, nah. But I will be at the Georgia Tech game for sure. That'll be my first home game in a while. It'll be fun, man. Get out there and y'all say what's up. I'll be over there with X. Get me some tickets in the blue parking lot. That's a nice little lot over there, too. I see why y'all over there. I was like, okay. Yeah, that yellow lot trash, dog. I ain't trying to be way out there. I ain't trying to be way the hell out there. Georgia Tech shouldn't be super packed either. We ain't going to do no big numbers in that one.
It's probably, it's most likely it'll be a 330 game, if anything.
Yeah, hot, man. You might get 40 grand just because we're going to be undefeated. So, that you know, people will show up just to see that team. You know, the undefeated Canes come on out and do their thing. We will get, I'll tell you what, I'm a little pressed for time today. But this coming up week, you know, we already got the win against Bethune. So we'll give you guys a little bit more recruiting updates. I know we had a commitment, another 2025 commitment, top wide receiver in that class.
Walden Charles, one of the top dogs for the 25.
Yeah, that was a good early pickup. And what I like about it is, boy, seen the game. That's, oh, yeah. I can play in this offense. This what Miami going to be doing. They got all them other coaches been lying to y'all. They told y'all Mario going to run that ball 73 times. Y'all ain't going to get a chance to touch the rock. Boy, seen that and said, shit, I'm staying home, bro. And I do want to say this, and I'll let y'all chime in as well before we get out of here. I thought that game was so pivotal to the direction of this season. And for recruiting, for the image of this team, period. And I think, you know, you're dealing with a dog recruiter in Mario. So if he still want him, he ain't quit calling, he ain't quit checking in. He's still on their bumper, so to speak, to make sure they ain't making the wrong decision, man. They need to come on and put that orange and green on.
Just say double back season.
Yeah, he'll be back. Yeah, he'll be back, man. He's gonna let some of the play speak for itself. Then he gonna text him early in the morning, man. You know, I hope you're good. How's everything going with your mom? Blah blah blah. All right, man. We just gonna beat this other team in a minute. Come, I'm gonna holler at you in a minute. I think it was a great recruiting tool. I think it was great just for the image of the program in general.
Man, look at all the pivotal game. You can't watch anything sports related without Miami coming up ever since that game ended, man. Like that was huge, like you said, for the brand, what Mario trying to build and everything, recruiting, the image, public image and stuff, man. Huge win.
Yep, pivotal, man. I think that, you know, I had us at 8-4. I think now I'm looking at more like 9-3. And 9-3, and be honest with you, feel like my floor. Be honest with you, I'm feeling away. So let's get a couple wins. Let me not jump out the window just yet. I'm gonna keep it cool. But I feel like,
yeah, man. We look, man. Just game by game, man. Let's get it. Let's get
game
it.
By week by week. You're right. We gonna be here week by week.
Yeah, week by week, man. We ain't gonna do this. Let's get game by, because you never know, man. You never know. Clemson. Yeah. Everybody thought Clemson was going to be something, and look at them, you know what I'm saying? Or anybody think Duke was going to be something, and look at them, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, just go week by week, you know what I'm saying? We passed our first test so far of the season.
Amen to that.
We passed our first test.
One goal this week.
Yeah, we passed our first test of the season. We had the big game. You know, our next test will be, shit, I don't know if we have, what's our next big, I guess Carolina is the next big test as far as a big road game.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? Wait, that'll be our second
test. Who's after Georgia Tech?
Huh?
Who's after Georgia Tech?
Clemson. Oh, no, North Carolina.
North Carolina's at the GT, yeah. Clemson's later on in the season.
North Carolina, and then it's Clemson.
Okay.
It's Georgia Tech, North Carolina, then Clemson.
Okay. Yeah, you know, we knock all them off. Nah, let me cook them. We'll get there when we get there, man. Anyways, yeah, I got to pull up. Got to get up out of here. Appreciate y'all tapping in with us. Like I said, we'll get a little more into some of the recruiting news, some of the targets out there, some of the feedback and noise we've been hearing, especially coming off the A&M win. You know, we'll breeze through the BC game, see what the young guys get out there and do, hopefully. And that's about it, man. For the gang, I'm all back there on Pop's duty, as usual. Coach Measy, the interrogator, he's walking through there like he's big dog around that joint. You know what I'm saying? And my main man, X, We are 26 degrees.
Ready to catch me one of these jets slipping.
Yeah, he can't. Y'all gotta see this shit, yo. We gotta get the visuals. He can't wait to catch somebody. He can't wait to put him in timeout, bro. Police ass. We 26 degrees, bro. We up out of here. Peace.
All right, peace.
We gonna let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.